Cosmic Vultures with a song called Confusion. It's from their record Mariana.
Mariana, yeah.
What does Mariana mean? What's that
all about? It actually came from, I have a fascination with the ocean and how deep it goes, and the bottom of the ocean is actually the Marianas Trench.
Yeah, I heard of that, yes. And I mentioned like the deepest part, right?
I mentioned it in the song Angel Dust. I mentioned that I got sucked down to the Mariana, to the trench. It just always kind of frightened me, and I kind of like to sing about it.
That's great. You're playing next Saturday in Salem.
Beverly.
In Beverly. Yep. And it's at Fibber McGee's.
Fibber McGee's, yep. Cool, cool restaurant.
Good wings.
9:30.
At 9:30 at night.
PM.
And the next song we have queued up is a song called Diamonds and Dark Clouds. So let's chat about Diamonds and Dark Clouds.
That was like an in-studio song. We like almost wrote that in the studio.
Yeah, we had an idea for it, and we came up with it. We wanted to do a little bit more of a chill song, a kind of groovy song. You can just kind of lay back and listen to it, and it's kind of nice and soft. And we like the idea of having an album that flows. We listen to a lot of classic albums like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles. Yeah. We like Dark Side of the Moon. So we want albums to flow really well, like the classic albums. So we thought we needed a couple of soft songs here and there, and we consider this one of our soft songs.
Okay. We always joke around some of our originals. We'll be like, hey, Derek will come with you. Check this out. I'm like, oh, that's a track three for sure. That is a track three song.
We always say, like, oh, that's a track seven right there. We just joke about it.
Do you consider some songs work songs? Meaning, like, it's a certain style. It might not be what you're all about, but you do it.
There's definitely songs that sound like different from each other. You know, there's a little bit of a spectrum for sure.
It's funny. I actually started writing folk songs when I first started writing, and I've always known Steve, but when we started playing together, me and Steve, the bass player, he added bass over my folk songs, and it's funky. And I said, "All right, I guess these are funk songs now."
Yeah, cool.
So it's funny how you end up.
All right, so this is the soft side of the Cosmic Vultures. Here we go.
Diamonds falling down on me. My time.
Johnny. John on guitar. And
love that ending.
The Cosmic Vultures. Yes.
You don't. You hate that ending.
Yeah, John decided to put one extra flaw.
I got ripped for that ending for weeks.
Really, for weeks. Huh?
We mess with each other in recordings.
Yeah, we had quite a few debates on whether that should stay in there.
We should, in another universe, we should be a comedy band. But yeah. We're not. We're trying to be serious.
You mentioned you wanted to talk about something in particular. Was it the sound of the snare drum, was it? Or was it the sound of singing? Or was it?
Yeah, it's basically how we recorded the whole process. Because we're semi-new to recording music, so we decided to do it ourselves. So a lot that translated into a lot of experimentation. So one of that guitar solo you just heard on Diamonds was, we decided to put three mics on the amp and one in the room. So it's like it's a little overkill, but we thought it was better to have as much options tonally as possible, because the mixing process is just,
I don't know if tonally is a word.
I think it's a word.
Tonally?
Yeah, we even
well, how would you use that?
Tonality?
Tonality. There you go.
The tonality.
There's an A missing.
I stand by tonally.
Well, you're wrong.
I agree. Tonally. Totally. Totally. How do people find out about Cosmic Vultures? You have a website?
Yes. Thecosmicvultures.com. You can see our upcoming shows. You can actually, I think, listen to our original EP that came out in 2017 and our album Mariana that came out in this past July. You can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Pandora, and Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can always shoot us a message, too, if you have any questions.
We love talking to people and talking about music. So
just like shoot a message through...
Through Facebook?
Yeah,
Absolutely, yeah.
So like you guys on Facook.
Yes, we would love the likes.
Instagram,
Instagram?
We got Instagram.
We are on Instagram.
So.
And
you have a page.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Got a page on Instagram.
Page account.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
I don't know what it's called.
And I think it's an account, right? No, you have an account, then you get a page.
So
it's two separate things.
We have both. So check us out.
You have a page, and then you get the account.
No.
You know, you have a presence
skipping steps
on the internet.
We're present on the interrealms.
The Cosmic Vultures are with me, and they're going to talk about the next song. It's called Hammer, and it's a dark, deep song.
I was trying to avoid talking about Hammer, but it's a very energetic, fun song. We love playing this one live, especially. It's got an interesting story behind it,
going to tell you the story.
Yeah,
we'll let you interpret it.
You listen to the lyrics, you know, take it however you want to, but it's just a lot of fun is what it is, and that's what we want you to hear from it, is that it's fun.
Okay. The phone number is 855-915-9636. This is WMFO. I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call and let us know what you think about the Cosmic Vultures.
WMFO Medford. I
right, Cosmic Vultures, right there with Hammer. And did you think about that song? What it was? What do you think about that song? Tell me about. I know you mentioned it had some like Southern rock influences there, a little maybe a Fish sound, but what else?
Yeah, I was saying. That little, I guess it's a B section. That's for me as just from the bassist perspective. I took that.
I just copied Steve.
Yeah, he just copied. No, I drew a lot of influence from Fish's song "Bathtub Gin" off their Hampton Comes Alive mm-hmm. show. Yeah, I think it's in 1998. If you listen to that very, I know it's very specific, but if you listen to that version, the jam section is like that's. Yeah, in all seriousness, that's the energy I was going for. I was like, that's just it reminds me so much of that, and the whole bulk of the song is very 70s like classic rock. So I think like mixing that with the 70s classic rock is such a unique kind of feel.
It's got like a Doors feel to me when we started doing it. I felt like I almost was going to sing it in the vein of Jim Morrison, and then I was like, maybe not. But you know, definitely classic rock feel for us for that one.
For sure.
I was gonna say that song too. When we were recording it, it deleted like 3 times. Like that song was cursed.
Poor Kevin.
So what is it, dude, mad.
When you say deleted, the computer just stopped working.
We didn't save it. Right?
It was even worse than that.
First, it was Steve's fault. Then it was my fault.
No, Kevin laid down this. Oh, that's the take.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I went to save it like as new.
Yeah,
and then like I overwritten this whole thing. Just, everything got deleted. I'm like, guys, I
make a long story short. Kevin did a lot of takes for Hammer, and we deleted most of them by accident.
Many takes.
I don't know if you know this. There's a story of Jimi Hendrix playing a really great lead, or not, well, a solo, basically, mm-hmm. a long, you know, solo. And Paul McCartney's brother recorded it. And then for the next solo, he re-recorded over that tape.
Yeah.
And McCartney was like to his brother Mike, you know, what happened? Jimmy was playing for 20 minutes. I don't have 10 minutes worth of music. I recorded over it.
Yeah,
what the heck? It was like a legendary rock and roll
And you know what?
Story.
It's super easy to do something like that. Yeah. It's just like you lose your
mind. I guess they didn't have a tape or something or extra tape, so it just recorded again.
Yeah,
thanks for sure.
Don't have that happen to you.
Yeah, that would be bad. But we, for me especially, I love albums that have less tracks than more tracks. I like, for me, my favorite album of all time is Asia by Steely Dan, and there's 7 tracks on there.
Yeah.
And it's a full-length album, but every song counts, and there's no filler in it, and that's what I think that when we put our collection of songs together, we say, does anybody not like one of the songs in this album? Because if you don't, let's drop it.
Right.
So that's, I think, a very important to us, is quality over quantity.
This would sound odd. Would you guys consider doing like a Steely Dan song, like something off of Asia, perhaps, or like, you know, on your? I know it's not your cup of tea, or what I think of when I think of Cosmic Vultures, but have you considered doing something like that?
Yeah,
we have, doing Peg or Black Cow.
Oh my God, we love, and I think with that, what we love so much about it is we look at that album and say, listen to how crisp it is, and so we try to get the best recording possible from what we're doing. I mean, again, we're in an attic with some software, and Donald Fagen and Walter Becker had, you know, 18 engineers, I think, on Gaucho, which is insane.
Wasn't that
to me,
like the most expensive album ever produced?
Maybe the most. Yeah, so I mean, we're trying to get as far as we can with what we have.
It's like given our limited budget, but that's a, it's a, for us, it's a great source of inspiration to strive for. So
also in the sense of just the sensibility of it, the feel of how they recorded, because they had this jazz, almost like late night. Feel to me. I mean, to me, it's very bluesy. Yeah, yes.
I love that you mentioned late night, because when I hear Steely Dan, I think of listening to it at midnight, 1 a.m. Like it's the late night music.
Yeah, it's not Sunday afternoon barbecue music.
Right,
it's
not.
It's very. Sure. You know, there's a lot of like the Cowboy Junkies. Some of their songs. Velvet Underground. They're not early morning sunrise coming up music. You know, they're late night songs, in my opinion.
For sure.
So I love you guys. I'd love to hear something like Josie or
with covering Josie.
Just for like the sound, not necessarily to try to get the exact piano in there, you know, just, like do it on guitar, do it, you know, bass or whatever, just to try it out.
Yeah,
that would be very interesting.
Like I said, they're one of my favorite bands of all time, so I'd love to do something in that vein.
I think they scare people because they're so precise and they're so amazing.
Yeah, I guess they can come off a little intimidating.
I think
when we listen to them, it's just like it's
natural.
Not, it's less intimidating, but it's more, it's super inspiring. Like listen to that recording.
It's almost snobby. music, yeah. And I love it. I think it's great.
We joke around like it's like music for millionaires, you know? It's
music,
like,
for, yeah. music for rich, rich people.
How did they have the patience in terms of like make that music? It was just so... I heard they would spend like tons of time in the studio just re-recording and just bringing in this guitar player and this piano player, drummer, you know, and then they would just record and record and then choose... I didn't like that guy's recording. Exactly. I didn't like that drum solo or whatever.
That you brought
funny
that
story,
up.
Yeah.
If you you have to watch the documentary about Asia.
I did.
Knocked
me out. Yeah.
They brought in like 10 different guitarists,
For Peg. They did lead guitars.
And from in my ears, they were all Dynamite.
Yeah. Like,
and that was the funny part because Fagan was.
I understand why they went with the one they went with, but they were all the other versions were Dynamite.
I think Fagan and Becker, they put on a different solo they didn't use, and they both looked at each other and they said, "Well, it's clear we didn't." Why we didn't use that one, and they shook their heads. And I was like, what are you talking about? That was fantastic. But to them, they're on a different level.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, elitist.
It might sound silly. We talked a little bit about the Beatles and about Sgt. Pepper. And if you ever heard the alternate version of Sgt. Pepper, there's a whole bunch of versions, but one version has the song Good Morning.
Yep.
And John Lennon never says the word good morning on the song Good Morning, but the version's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's on the anthology. Yeah.
It's on the anthology, and it's also on the alternate version of Sgt. Pepper, and it's amazing. Oh, wow. And honestly, listen to that, and it's like, if I was in the studio, I would say, you don't have to sing Good Morning. And that's like part of the song. That's the name of the song.
Right.
But on the practice or the demo, whatever you want to call it, it's just amazing the sound that they got.
There's several songs they'll re-release, like off of Let It Be. You got the Let It Be Naked, which is the less produced. Every time, like even on the White Album?
The Beatles album?
No, the anthology.
Yeah. Oh, 1, 2, or 3,
They'll release the songs off there. It's like alternate versions. I always like the alternate better than the original.
Oh.
It's like, it's so,
the Anthology 3 album is just stunning. I love 2, and I love 1 also, but the number 3, wow.
Some of the songs in there, especially, what's the one that Paul wrote for Badfinger? If You Want It, Come and Get It. I said, why didn't the Beatles keep that? That would have been a number 1 hit.
That one.
Another number one for the Beatles, they needed.
That particular version of A Long and Winding Road, wow.
Yeah,
you don't need the singing choir or whatever they had in the background.
Right, the Phil Spector wall of sound.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless you disagree, I have Saint Suicide lined up. Unless you want to hear something else.
No, we could do that.
Saint Suicide sounds great. That's another one of our, we think one of our softer songs, but it picks up. That's, again, like I said, I bring acoustic songs to these guys sometimes, and that one they took.
That's another studio recorded song as well. We needed a song to fill it up and kind of complete the story of it. So we're like, Derek brought in that song.
It's a little folky and it builds up. It's good.
Like, I mean, Saint Suicide, that sounds almost like a pregnant nun. what's going
it's,
on with
well,
that?
Well, for me, you know, it's funny, actually. This is a shout out to Kevin's mother, if she's listening, Donna. She always says that I should write happier songs and happier lyrics. And this one is actually an anti-suicide song.
Oh, good.
It's saying, don't do it. Please don't do it. And actually, in the future, I want to do some anti-suicide shows where we can get some fundraising going. I think it's very important. But this one was very anti-suicide. Don't do it is my message.
Yeah.
And this is a lot to live for.
Okay, and this is going out to Donna.
Yep.
This is for you, Donna.
Hey, Mom.
Check it out.
Of crying, woken up and dream or of dying. Everyone has courage buried. Hardest part is to dig it up from the ground. But you find out. You're not the only. You're
up from the ground. Ground, but you find out.
Okay, fading in the background is Saint Suicide, and it's actually about living. It's about life, and talk to us about.
It's not about death, and yes. I think Donna Stanley will will be happy about that because it's like Jim Morrison. He wrote and he was obsessed with death, and I'm not obsessed with death, but it's one of those things that everyone thinks about daily. I wake up and I go, when is the time? You know, and it's scary, and
yeah,
it's something to talk about.
Yeah, Jim, he was. Brilliant in a lot of ways, but one thing, he was very reckless, and I don't think he valued life that well, I should say.
Exactly, yeah.
But what a dark man.
Yeah, for sure. The movie The Doors depicts that too. He just he didn't care when death came for him, and maybe it was an act, who knows.
Yeah.
But I know as a human, I'm afraid, you know, and I think it's something, you know, for decades everyone talks about and sings about love and these love songs and love. And I think death is a more interesting topic. I think that darker things in people's lives, you know, drug use, things like that, is important to talk about because it's a struggle every day.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
to be a person is a struggle, and yeah. I think that we should talk about it, you know.
Right.
And because a lot of our songs have that like darker nature to them, that's kind of where this came about. Because after a show, my mom was like, "When is he gonna write about like you know puppies and sunshine and happiness?" And I'm like, "I'll talk to him. I don't know.
We'll have a meeting about it."
But and then we came up one with a little more positive message and. We think it came out pretty good.
It's cool because when you do talk about those like death and the kind of dark stuff, when you do think about that, it does make you appreciate life way more than that. Kind of the opposite effect. It's like makes you want to live when you kind of analyze those things.
Yeah, for sure. And in our second album that's coming out, I don't know when it's coming. We're gonna start recording in January, but we have a lot of dark. It's more like a horror.
It's not like dark negative though.
Yeah, it's like we have a song called Werewolf. It's becoming a werewolf. We thought that's fun. We have one called Seven Witches, which we're recording a music video for at the time, and it's just a lot of like great, interesting images.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's almost horror-esque, but it's in a real fun way. I think people will enjoy it, and it's a lot of funky tunes in this next one too. So Absolutely. We're excited about it.
Yeah. No, I'd love to hear you guys explore. Jazz, blues, just sort of all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the jam band sound. I like what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. You guys are so young and talented. It's mm-hmm. like pretty great what you guys can do. Next song we have queued up is Blood Moon.
Yep. Yes, that was influenced by a Lettuce song specifically.
Not the Bible, because Peter said the moon will turn blood. Do you know that?
Did not know that.
Read the New Testament. Yeah. The moon will turn blood. Did you know that? He did. Yeah. Peter in the New Testament.
My wife knew it, and I didn't know.
She knew it.
I don't know much of anything, to be honest. But
Blood Moon is about what?
Blood Moon. You know, it's. I think what I was thinking about is, and I hope I come across clearly because it's sometimes it's difficult too. But it's sort of like when you're by yourself and you have feelings in you that nobody can feel but you. Mm-hmm. Only you at that time. You're in your own brain and you say, "This is me," and no one else can touch what's inside of me right now. Mm-hmm. It's my own thoughts, and I can think whatever I want. And I thought the Blood Moon was a kind of a cool sort of. definition of that. Like, no one can touch my blood moon, if that makes sense. It's my own soul.
No, I like
and,
that.
And aura, maybe aura is a better word to use.
No, I like that because people, no matter how they try, they can never know how you feel. No, it's, I mean, yeah, sure, they can kind of guess, you know, look at your expression or whatever, but nobody knows how anyone actually feels.
Right, yeah. And you, and again, it's cliche, but judging a book by its cover type thing, you know, you meet people and you don't know that they're these people, these different people you never even imagined. But if you see one of us on the street, you'd never think like, oh, do you play music in this, you know, funky group? You just wouldn't, you know, you just judge people by the way they look and things like that. But that, you know, there's some things you just can't reach inside of people, you know? They're you need to talk to them and figure out what they're all about, and that's the best thing is to talk and get your feelings out. And I think Blood Moon's a bit of it's funky. It's got a little bit of almost a hip-hop feel during the verses. I tried to I mean, I don't know if it's hip-hop per se, but it's definitely like 70s funk to me, but we had a lot of fun with this.
A little bit of Zappa in there, too.
We have a little bit of a Frank Zappa segue between both parts, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
There's the Blue Moon, there's the Blood Moon, there's the Harvest Moon. There's
I was thinking like actual moons, like the super moon.
There's a super moon, yes. There is.
Literal moon.
And, yep.
Waxing moon.
But actually, Blood Moon. We wrote a song called
Gibbous.
Gibbous.
Yeah.
Gibbous,
yes. The next word. We wrote a song called Werewolf. It's going to be on our second album. And this song, Blood Moon, is the prequel to Werewolf, because when you see the moon, you turn into a werewolf.
Right. Some do.
We have stories that keep having sequels. So
I like
to go.
Right now it's blue. No, not blue. It's Blood Moon. It's the Cosmic Ultras.
Conspiracy, it's the only crutch that you have on me. The hawk in the house with all his rats. We bite our thumbs and never tip our hats. Give me your rich, give me your greed. Poison the world with your seed. Govern me with conspiracy. It's the only crutch that you have on me. Well, I'm sitting on the blood moon that saves us from all our lives. I'm tearing up the system. That frees us up from our eyes. I'm sitting on the blood moon that saves us from all our lives. I'm giving up the system that frees us up from our eyes. Govern me with conspiracy. It's the only crutch that you have on me. The hog in the house with all his rats. We'll bite our thumbs and never tip our hats. Give me your rich, give me your greed. Poison the world with your seed. Govern me with conspiracy. It's the only crutch that you have on me. Well, I'm sitting on the blood moon that saves us from all our lives. I'm tearing up a system that strings us up from our eyes. I'm sitting on the blood moon that saves us from all our lives. I'm tearing up a system that strings us up from our eyes.
And that was Blood Moon. And it's the Cosmic Vultures. And Dave, give us a call. Anyone out there, give us a call. 855-915-9636. We want to put you on the air.
I don't know you.
Who's listening? Give us a call.
We heard all the tracks from Mariana by the Cosmic Vultures. We're going to hear Black and White EP, or their Black and White EP.
Yep, that was our first recording. We actually recorded that at the Bridge Sound and Stage in Cambridge with Alex Allinson. Alex, if you're out there listening, thank you so much for helping us out and getting us on our feet. You know, after we were, you know, recorded a couple tracks with him, we decided let's give it a try on our own and see what we can do. Also to save money, that was the bigger one, but we really, really appreciate it, and it got us on our feet, and now we have we just heard our first album. And so we're going back in time a little bit to hear our EP.
Yeah.
We recorded this basically in a weekend. We just
it was 16 hours to be exact.
Like, we just knocked out as much as we could. There was a fifth song on there that we were going to put on. We didn't have time to really.
I think we actually wanted Confusion originally to be in the EP. I think it was one of them that was a contender. Yeah. And also we did this one called Devil's Dance, which is kind of on our shelf right now, just sitting there waiting to be recorded someday.
Yeah. It's fermenting.
It's on the drive.
So the lyrics go,
don't hack into our drive.
I've got something to get off my chest. I've got something to get off my mind.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's
You're my honey child. My honey child.
My honey child.
Yeah. You're my honey child.
That's very true.
You don't want to hear me sing or talk.
That's actually that's actually a prequel to the song Hammer. So if anyone's following the lyrics out there, Honey Child is the first.
Okay.
And Hammer is the second. It's a sequel.
All right. You're my honey child. This is Honey Child, and this is the Cosmic Vultures.
I've got some
right, in the studio, it is the Cosmic Vultures.
Hello.
This is a song called Honey Child. Honey Child.
Honey Child. And,
they're going into their inner Mick Jagger sound. They're going to talk about how the band formed. I mean, you were in Liverpool and
we were in Liverpool, yes.
On the docks.
You know, I met Paul, back in 62.
You're making fish and chips and you were wrapping it up in newspaper. And what happened?
Right. Well, I've known Steve my entire life. This is Derek speaking, by the way. I'm the lead vocalist, guitarist. I met Steve in middle school and we've always played music together, even if we were just joking around. He moved to Florida for about 7 years. When he moved back up to Mass, we said, let's be in a band, let's do stuff. And we decided we needed a drummer. Me and Steve actually recorded a couple albums on our own that aren't available right now, but we needed a drummer. We went through a lot of drummers, and Kevin was like, I'll play drums. And we were like, I've always known Kevin as a guitar player in high school. He was in jazz band with us. He said, I'll get in the drums for you.
I literally said, I'll be your Ringo.
He said, I'll be a Ringo. So we said, let's try it. And
he's a big-hearted man.
Yeah, we became a three-piece. It's funny, I play rhythm guitar. I'm not much of a lead player at all. And we focused a lot on the bass sound to lead us. And we thought it was different for bands nowadays just to have that bass sound up front. But eventually we realized that we should probably add a lead guitar player because I wasn't much of a lead player, just rhythm. So John was in a band called Invalid Heroes.
Yes.
And we played with them one night, and I looked at Steve, I whispered in his ear, I said, if they ever break up, we're stealing their guitar player. And they broke up.
Yeah, and we saw one of their shows and we knew we had to have him.
Yeah.
We stole him fair and square. No one can have him back now.
I almost didn't even join the band because at that point the band just broken up and I was mad about it. When you break up with a band, it's like almost losing a girlfriend because close with like 3-4 other people.
Mm-hmm.
So when they asked me, I was like, I don't want to join this band. And they're like, oh, come on, one night. It's like, all right, I came and we jammed, and it felt like I needed to get that out. Almost. Yeah, it felt so good.
He was the glue,
And then they were like, so we got like 6 shows, or like, we have like 10 shows this month. You want to play? All right.
And John wasn't even ready, and he just jumped right in and did it. And
his first
amazing show
was 3 hours long.
It was a 3-hour show.
Just a couple days after that.
John is incredible. Everyone in this band is incredible in their own way. And it's funny. We talk about this all the time, but nobody could replace any of us because no one fits into our weirdness.
We're really
a very
weird,
particular brand of humor. Lot of inside jokes that most people who see us don't understand.
Honestly, you guys seem to get along really well, and that is half the battle. It really is.
And
continue doing that. I mean, it's really important.
A lot of bands break up too soon, and we're just getting going. Sure.
Absolutely.
We got so much more stuff coming.
We got a lot of material.
We're just getting started.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you got to, find something fresh, something that inspires you and keep it going.
Yeah, so, definitely.
And I hope this keeps everyone going. This is White Spade.
White Spade.
Bye.
talking trash in the studio with the Cosmic Vultures here. And that was White Spade off their record. Black and White is an EP that they have, and I forgot to ask them what they wanted to have next on. And
Black Sheep would be good, but
Black Sheep in a minute will do.
Yeah,
but,
two of the songs on the EP, like when I came in the band, they were already written, and then when Black Sheep. And
Honey Child, those were the two we wrote with John when he first joined. That was like his introduction to the band, was him, us jamming on those probably.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, me, Kevin, and Steve were a band before John, and we needed the glue, and we got John. We got Johnny Boy.
Hey, man.
Very
and,
nice.
I feel like I've become a better player being in this band, because a lot of the times I feel like I'm trying to catch up with Steve.
Okay.
I feel like I've gotten worse somehow.
Kevin's gotten
way worse.
It's true, though. It's true. When you play with good musicians, you just find yourself trying to compete with them in a great way. And, like, I want to match how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important. Me and Steve used to record our own little demos, and I had a tough time keeping up with him and stuff. And he goes, "We should play live someday." And I said, "I could never do that."
Mm-hmm.
And then when we started to do it, I was really nervous. But now it's like, I can't imagine not playing live. It makes you a better musician. Mm-hmm. So it's important.
Yeah, sometimes we don't even practice songs, and we just go do it live.
Yeah, we'll have shows where we don't practice for weeks at a time, you know.
We'll write songs, and you guys are always like, "Oh, that song's not ready." And I'm always like, well, that's the best way to develop a song, is by not knowing how to play it and play it live still.
Yeah, I guess the best way to learn how to swim is just jump right in the water.
I swear, that's how you get better.
That's how things are. And like, you start a new job, and most of the time I'm like, I don't know this job. Just let me do it, and let me figure it out myself, because if you're going to just show me papers, it's not going to help me do this job. Just throw me into the wolves.
Just let me do the job.
Yeah.
I think we have a couple more songs, this one and then one more, and I think that's it.
All right.
Time just flew by, so really? We're going to jump right into Black and White EP, a song called Black Sheep. Bad time to stop and mess up, but I'll get back in there. 1 second. Sorry about that.
Like epic solos.
Yeah,
the absolute worst place to stop, because it was like right at the beginning of a different section.
Yeah.
Oh, so, God, the B section.
Now you're just waiting for the ending, I guess.
I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
Right, talk to me about what you guys are going to be doing in the near future, because we're running out of time.
Sure. I said, November 24th is next Saturday, mm-hmm. and we're playing at Fibber McGee's in Beverly.
Come
9:30 to 12:30. After that, we have a gig planned for January 10th at Opus Underground in Salem, one of our favorite spots. We actually recorded our video for Angel Dust there. That was a lot of fun. Great place. And then we're taking a break for a while. In January, we're going to record our second album, our second record. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. Again, like I said, it's if you liked some fun you know, horror and dark elements from the first album. Well, here they come in the second one. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the next song you're going to hear, the last one, is Backwards Lateral. It's our, we think it's, you know, it's the most fun, energetic song, at least one of them. We always end our shows with it because there's just a battle between Steve playing bass and John playing guitar. And they actually fight physically on stage with their said instruments. So
I've heard a couple times.
Well, that's actually, we do that in our video Angel Dust. There's a quick scene where you can actually, see it.
Yeah.
No, no, yep. Just below that. I'm not that cruel.
I don't know. It was kind of close.
But we can just watch the video.
it's a lot of fun.
Excellent. Okay. Hey, I'll do this one. Then we'll come back, say goodbye, and then I'll be it. Okay?
Sounds great.
And everyone listening, it's been a treat with these guys. Really fun to hear their music and to talk to them. And it's Backwards Lateral by the Cosmic Vultures.
You're looking at a radical, sitting on a lump sum change on sabbatical. Bloodshot eyes with the military cries, vigilante sighs with the big fat lies now. Through every single culture, watch out, honey, 'cause you're looking at the vultures. I got a backwards lateral, you're looking at a radical, sitting on a lump sum change on sabbatical.
Cosmic Vultures with Backwards Lateral.
Yes, and again, thank you so much for having us on the show today.
Thank you.
We're the Cosmic Vultures. You just heard Backwards Lateral. Upcoming shows next Saturday, November 24th, at Fibber McGee's in Beverly at 9:30. Then we're doing Thunder Road in... where's Thunder
Somerville.
Road? Somerville, I'm sorry. And that's in, December 1st. It's a Saturday day show, so it should start at 3 p.m. or 2:30 p.m., I think. Yeah, those are our upcoming shows. Check us out on Facebook. Like us. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Pandora. And check out our music video, Angel Dust, from our first album, Mariana. It's on YouTube, and you can check it on our Facebook page as well. So, again, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, guys. Everyone out listening, thanks for coming on the show. And Cosmic Vultures, check them out. And stick around right now for The Loft. This is WMFO Medford.
Got into an argument this morning with my Rice Krispies. I distinctly heard snap, crackle, fuck him.